In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, September 2nd, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Rowan County, Kentucky Clerk of Courts Kim Davis is standing firm on her religious convictions, despite the fact the U.S. Supreme Court ruled Monday she must issue marriage licenses to homosexual couples. Cameras, reporters, and a line of same-sex couples showed up at the courthouse Tuesday morning to see what Davis would do. According to The Blaze, when David Morin and David Ermold, who were rejected by Davis 3 times already, requested a license Tuesday, she denied them again. Pressing her, Ermold insisted, "We're not leaving until we have a license." Just as insistent, Davis quipped, "Then you're going to have a long day." Davis, who knows she may face a stiff fine or even jail time, said she intends to follow her Christian beliefs, quote, "under God's authority," unquote. The World View spoke to Liberty Counsel founder Matt Staver about the story.
Kim Davis is strong in her faith and obviously under a lot of pressure. She doesn't want to resign, and she doesn't want to compromise her faith either. And there are ways to accommodate her, and we think that her conscience and her religious freedom should be respected.
Do you remember the words of the three Hebrew children? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered Nebuchadnezzar, who had told them to bow down to his golden image or else be thrown into a fiery furnace. "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods." They did not bow either, Clerk Davis. Stand firm. A massive manhunt is still underway in Illinois for 3 men after Fox Lake Police Lieutenant Joseph Glinowicz was shot and killed following a routine traffic stop Tuesday morning. Helicopters and dogs were deployed. 10 local schools and a portion of Chicago's Metro public transportation system were locked down following the incident. Glinowicz, father to 4 sons and a 30-year police veteran, is the 11th officer killed in the line of duty in less than 2 weeks nationwide. The mayor of Grover, Colorado, got a big surprise after he posted a comment on Facebook. Pete Bierman said when he heard about the event that talk show host Glenn Beck was putting on in Birmingham, Alabama this past weekend, he posted he'd love to attend, but had no idea how he could afford the trip. Within seconds, 2 different couples he did not know, one from Texas and another from California, contacted him, offering to pay his airfare and accommodations. Bierman said he was overwhelmed with encouragement after taking part in the Restoring Unity 20,000-person march. Another crowd of nearly 20,000, this one angry, marched through the streets of Vienna, Austria early Monday. They were protesting the deaths and ill treatment of refugees fleeing for their lives from Islamic persecution. The suffocated bodies of 71 people, thought to be Syrian refugees, were found in an abandoned refrigerated truck in Austria last week. Cardinal Christoph Schönborn, Archbishop of Vienna, passionately addressed his congregation Sunday, saying, quote, "We've had enough. Enough of the deaths, the suffering, and the persecution," unquote. In what is being called, quote, "the Great Fall of China," unquote, stocks took another frightening fall Monday, plunging 470 points. The S&P fell 3% on a so-called correction after having the worst August in 5 years. The dismal first day of September did little to encourage investors. Weakness in China, the world's second largest economy, is said to be a major concern for traders. The Center for Medical Progress released a new video Tuesday, the 9th in its series of videos, catching the Planned Parenthood abortion business selling aborted babies and their body parts. This latest video catches a clinic medical director discussing how Planned Parenthood sells fully intact aborted babies, including one who, quote, "just fell out of the womb," unquote. Pro-abortion detractors continue to complain the videos are edited unfairly. Meanwhile, the Center for Medical Progress continues to post hours-long unedited footage, proving them wrong. Beware, all involved in this heinous blood trade. Your sins will find you out. Numbers 32:23. California gang members are becoming Christians through public high school clubs. Brian Barcelona, leader of One Voice Student Missions and speaker at many Bible club meetings, recalled something he said he'd never forget. He had just finished his talk when this, quote, gangbanger stands to his feet and he looks at me and says, "What do I have to do to be saved?" unquote. According to Barcelona, thousands are hearing the gospel message each week and lives are being changed. It's still true. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Romans 10:17. And that's the world view on this Wednesday, September 2nd, in the year of our Lord 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. During the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of truth and relationships in a lost and lonely world. And our intention is to bring back both truth, that is a biblical view of things, and relationships. Both are lost in a world that is dominated by humanism, dominated by Cain, who kills his brother and wanders like a vagabond in the wilderness east of Eden and builds himself an anonymous city. And that's pretty much what's happening in the modern world. Cities everywhere and very little relationship. That's the way modern life is lived. And our intention of this radio program, and yes, indeed, we are somewhat derelationalized because we are reaching people through the internet and other means. But my purpose for having a second person in the studio, I almost always insist upon that, is in order to maintain relationships so that Steve Vaughn, Kevin Swanson in studio today are having a conversation, and it's not just a totally derelationalized world. At least you can look in upon us and see that there is something of a relationship here, and we have known each other for a very long time, and we're good friends, good brothers in Christ.
Yeah, I'll text you my response on that.
There you go. Okay. Hey, Facebook reached another milestone over the weekend, friends. On Monday, 1 billion visitors in one day. That's one in seven. And the CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, who, by the way, also the founder of Facebook, said this. He said that Facebook brings the world closer together and, here it is, brings stronger relationships. And yeah. I wrote in the Worldview in 5 minutes, or at least stronger pseudo relationships.
Yeah, I have 1,000 friends.
Yeah.
And I lost 500 yesterday, but I got another 500 today.
You got 502 today.
Yes. I've got more friends than I did yesterday.
You're cranking, dude.
I'm cranking.
Yeah, you can defriend, you can refriend, you can do whatever. And of course, the friends mean almost nothing, practically nothing. You friend somebody on Facebook doesn't mean anything. Okay, please, I hope people understand this. Well, we live in such a derelationalized world, I think it's time for Christians to become a bit more desperate to address this insidious problem. Friends, Facebook is not a relational environment. You don't establish friends, and this whole derelationalized world is destroying our families. It's destroying our churches. Our churches become revolving doors. I sometimes like to refer to the church as the first community church of the gypsies. We're gypsy churches. I think more and more we preach to gypsy audiences, Steve. We don't have these communities. Don't get the idea that we have a community like they had a community in 1890. I'm sorry. That's a joke. That's a joke. The flow in and flow out of your local community Baptist church doesn't yield anything of a meaningful community, friends. It's we hardly have a community today. And that's because we live east of Eden. We live where Cain developed a city, the city of anonymity. And the more we develop friendships by way of email, by way of Facebook, instead of the face-to-face meetings, If our electronic to face-to-face ratio rises to the point where it's, well, where it is today, probably 2-1, 3-1, 4-1, 5-1, we have no relationships to speak of, friends. And I speak to those of you who are my friends. I keep using the term, but, you know, again, are we really friends?
if we have very few face-to-face meetings. Now, one of the reasons I open up my home, and I've done this many, many times. In fact, we had a couple come on Sunday night out of the blue through candle in the window, and we were able to get to know them. He turned to me as he walked in, said, "Your name is Kevin. Have you ever met Kevin Swanson?" And I said, you had to say it twice. What did you say? He said, "Have you ever met Kevin Swanson?" I said, "I am Kevin Swanson." "You're Kevin Swanson?" "Yes, I'm Kevin Swanson." I want people in my home. I want them to meet me face to face. It doesn't make any sense to do these radio ministries, these internet ministries, these Facebook get to knows without inviting people over to your home to spend quality time with you and really get to know you. That's also why we do our annual Shepherd's Conference in early October. We invite men to our home, fathers and sons. If you want to come over to our home, there's a 1 week long get to know. You can be in my home. You can see me in my pajamas. We worship together. We praise God together. We pray together. Yeah, I know. Unshaven to boot. But we spend a lot of time together and people get to know me. They get to know my children. They realize who I am. And so you see, what I want to do is I want to put a hole right through that bubble of the star system that's really a fairly recent occurrence in the history of Christendom. I'm here to tell you the star system really has come about by way of Christian radio over the last 40, 50 years, and it's not particularly healthy. That's why we pop the bubble of fame by opening up our home, inviting the world into our home in early October. This year, Shepherd's Conference isn't quite full. My understanding is there may be a 5 or 6 slots left. If people want to come to our home and get some discipleship and learn how to shepherd their families and perhaps even learn a little bit about shepherding the church, please come to our home and be a part of the Shepherd's Conference in early October. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we want to talk a little bit about Facebook and Ashley Madison. What is happening here with the total obliteration of privacy? You got to understand, friends, it's the derelationalized world, but it's also a deprivatized world. We're going to talk about that in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast.
Persecution against Christians is on the rise in Pakistan, Iran, India, Africa, Canada, Washington, and Iowa. Our religious liberties are hanging in the balance.
There was a report that recently found that Christians are the most persecuted religious minority in the world.
News reports every day indicate the tide is turning right now.
Well, last night, Reverend Franklin Graham was here talking about what he called the growing hostility toward Christians in America, including the Christmas holiday.
We lost religious freedom battles in Indiana and Arkansas this year. Christian businesses have been fined $135,000 for not supporting a homosexual wedding. Christian parents are concerned about parental rights and education and medical choices.
I believe we're going to see persecution in this country. We've already seen many laws that have been passed that restrict our freedom as Christians. And so I believe it's going to get worse. And we see, no question, gaining influence in Washington.
That's why the Freedom 2015 Conference in Des Moines, Iowa, Friday, November 6th and Saturday, November 7th, 6 weeks before the Iowa caucuses, we want to register our commitment to liberty. It's time to get educated, get inspired, get connected, get motivated, get some influence, and get ready to impact the 2016 elections. Meet the presidential candidates. Take part in a presidential poll. Support fellow Christians who are taking the brunt of it. This conference is for Christian pastors, parents, teachers, businessmen, employees, and chaplains. Bring your family to the Iowa Event Center on November 6th and 7th for an historic event as we take a stand for liberty. This is a crucial moment in the history of the Western world. Will you play a part in it? Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
We're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here. Steve Vaughn also in studio today as we talk about Facebook. Facebook has announced they've got 1 billion unique visitors in a single day, which means they may have, 2 billion people like me. I very rarely visit my Facebook account. So there may be something like 2 billion, something like, 20% or 30% of the world is connected by Facebook today, which itself is scary because, friends, that means a lot of lack of privacy. Please understand that whatever you speak in the corner will be shouted in the housetops, and that principle that Jesus Christ gave us in the Gospels certainly applies in real time to what happens on the internet, and I want to get to that in just a moment. But Facebook is such a sham in the sense that everybody airs their opinions, Steve, and you got a billion people with a billion opinions, a billion teachers. That's a lot of teachers. What does the book of James say about teachers?
That they're not let many of you be teachers.
That's right. Seems like the word was many.
Yeah.
Don't let many of you be teachers, because him that teaches bears the stricter judgment. There it is. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. So he says, be careful. Don't let many of you be teachers. Well, I'm here to tell you, you go onto Facebook, you find out there's a billion teachers out there, and not all of them qualify.
Yeah, most of them.
That's
not
pretty scary. Yeah, the lack of wisdom on Facebook is unbelievable, in which case, of course, they're sharing their opinions and teaching and the blind leading the blind, and there's probably more blind leading blind into ditches than we've ever seen in the history of mankind on Facebook today. Be oh so careful about it. Here's an article, a pick off of Men's Journal, 7 reasons you should quit Facebook in 2015. It wastes your time. I say it's 17 minutes a day. My guess is more than that if people click through. Upwards of 40 entire days of their lives scrolling and liking and commenting on pictures and posts. Facebook uses you to sell stuff. Targets you with advertisements. It's bad for your health. Who are these people anyway? You know, your friends.
And who cares?
Who
what
are
you
these
ate?
People? Yeah, you probably don't know more than 10% of the people that are on your Facebook account. I don't care about privacy. Fair, that's your right. But the problem is that we're setting precedent for the future without yet understanding how it will affect the free and open web. Nothing you post actually matters to most people. That's probably true. So some of the reasons why Facebook doesn't matter. And here's this guy's encouraging you to get off of it. There may be reasons for Facebook. I'm trying to find one. I know there's one, and that is to advertise the Generations Radio broadcast, but we don't put much personal information up on Facebook. It's dangerous, I think, to do so.
Oh, yeah.
They're not that helpful. But anyway.
And they keep after you. They say, you know, you haven't done this yet. And then they start asking you questions. It's really interesting. Did you go here? Did you used to live here? Mm-hmm. Because of, and they can find that out just based upon the things that you've gone to. Posts that you've read. And so they're constantly after you to share more and more personal information, and that's not good.
Well, and that's exactly what happened with Ashley Madison with the hack, and we want to get into a little bit more of this. Friends, the stories are abounding and will continue to abound. From Ashley Madison, the hack that involved something like 35 million unique data sets indicating that there were many, many people, nations around the globe, and states all over America. In fact, all 50 states connected with Ashley Madison.
And they're saying almost every zip code even.
That's right. All except for 3 of them. That's right. And the most popular states that were most connected to this adultery website. Remember, this was a website dedicated to cheating or adultery, violating the 7th commandment. And the states most given to it turn out to be, you got it. State of Colorado was right around number 1. Alabama was very high.
Utah
was very high. New Jersey, Washington, D.C., anything around the capital was very, very high. New Hampshire, Virginia, all very, very high. I think that's because it was all centered around Washington, D.C. I think the reason for this, friends, is because wherever there's power, wherever there are leaders, wherever there are Christian leaders, religious leaders, political leaders, they tend to migrate towards these sorts of sins. And it's hard sometimes to know why, except for the fact that when men have a thirst for power, oftentimes they have a thirst for lust as well. These things play off on each other. And sometimes when men have power, they think that they can get away with anything. We see that happening with politicians all the time.
I see the harlot on the beast right there.
Yeah.
It
tends to connect, right?
Yeah.
Anytime you have power and lust together, you get the city of man, and we certainly see that. Why Colorado and Utah are so involved, it could be the massive number of Mormons involved out here in the Western states. Mormons very much given towards these sorts of sins, the highest porn download rates in America, typically Utah. And I went into the counties, specific counties that had the highest porn download rates in the entire United States and all of Utah. And they were the highest church attending counties in the state of Utah. And so, of course, you know, wherever you have these sham religions where there's no power to it, but man, they've got an external whited sepulcher feel about it. Wow, you're going to have all kinds of adultery. And that's what you see out in these Western states, especially where the Mormons proliferate as they do. State of Colorado, I think we got a very, very high incidence of homosexuality and adultery, sexual sin, because it goes all the way back to the miners, the cowboys, and the whorehouses.
And we're settled a huge, this area. We're a huge recreation state as well. And so people move out here just to, you know, recreate.
Yeah.
We were driving to church on Sunday, and I had my youngest daughter, Anna Marie, in the car. And as we drove by Cherry Creek Park, they have a dog run park, and that place is packed. And she said that is just so sad that, you know, why can't they walk their dogs after church?
Yeah. It's too bad. Yeah, we have a very, very low church attendance rate in the state. And yeah, it's just a godless state. It's a state that tends to attract sexual sin. We had a couple of big profile pastors that resigned because of homosexuality. I think of Ted Haggard, and there was another one or two that resigned. These were some of the megachurch pastors in Colorado that have resigned over the last number of years because of some sort of sexual scandals. But Ashley Madison is opening this up worldwide, nationwide, and a mayor from Alabama has just resigned. According to one of the Christian news organizations, they suspect some 400 religious leaders will resign due to their involvement in Ashley Madison. Josh Duggar, of course, I think we've mentioned him on the program before. He was caught up in this web of the Ashley Madison adultery schemes. And also R.C. Sproul Jr., sadly, has just announced that he has been suspended from Ligonier for 1 year because he paid a visit to the website, Ashley Madison website. And he was specific in his blog, quoted by Christianity Today and also USA Today, that he had just paid the visit and hadn't gone further than that, was not a paying customer, and so forth and so on. But he did acknowledge that it was a sin. And this is what R.C. Sproul Jr. wrote, quoted in Christianity Today, very good words here: "The grace of God's judgment bore its fruit. And by his grace, I repented of my sin. By his grace, I have also received his forgiveness, the outworking of his love. Prophetic providence has done its good work. Jesus died for this sin, but there are still earthly consequences." Well written, and I think he's right. It is God's grace that he brings this judgment now, better now than later. And if you think, my friends, that this data dump is embarrassing and this revelation of sin on the part of 35 million lives around the world is embarrassing, scandalous, and could result in all sorts of demotions, et cetera, you should check out Judgment Day. Judgment Day will be 10 billion times worse than this because it will reveal everything. And you can count on it. Every website you've ever visited over the last 20 years will be known. It will be known. And it will probably be known in this time, but certainly on Judgment Day.
So you want to be covered by the blood of Christ on Judgment Day.
And confess your sins now.
Yes.
Billy Graham had an excellent article in the Kansas City Star, I believe it was, a week or two ago, in which he said, the only ones not forgiven will be those who didn't ask for forgiveness. And it's going to be a sad day for Mr. Trump.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking
of that right away. He doesn't have anything to ask for forgiveness for, at least according to a recent interview that was done.
Hopefully that will
all change. Before Judgment Day. But yes, thankfully we have the opportunity to get a little ahead of Judgment Day on this and confess our sins. And I think it's important right now. I think people who are listening to the program right now ought to say, you know, confess to their wives and confess to their children and confess to their pastors and their elders and get it out. Get it out right now. If you've been hitting the wrong websites and you've been there, hey, it's going to come out one way or another. You know it's going to come out on Judgment Day. My guess, it's going to come out one way or another within the next 5 or 10 years, because there is, friends, count on it, there is no privacy in what you have done on the internet. Understand that. That's a fact. You don't have control over every cookie. You don't have control over every bot. You don't have control over every place you've placed your email or any website that reached out and grabbed your email in some way, shape, or form. That data is available anyway. So you might as well just tell everybody where you've been. You know, you might as well acknowledge, and it's important for me to acknowledge that, you know, I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus for the times that I've seen certain images that were not helpful to me. I think of a business trip I was on in Canada when I was a young man, 25, 28 years ago. And there was a bleed through from an X-rated channel that that I was able to pull off of a, it was a paid channel, but it bled onto another channel. I could see through the fuzz, and that those images affected me for years afterwards. And I think people ought to understand that Kevin Swanson has had some images in his mind that has had to been erased by the blood of Jesus and forgiven by the blood of Jesus. And so, you know, thankfully over the years, the Lord has cleansed me from the interest in pursuing anything of a illegitimate website of any sort for lustful reasons. And so it's been years since I've had any inclination whatsoever to or any temptation to hit some website that would be unhealthy for me. But, you know, that's my past. People need to understand that, you know, we go through these battles. And this is one of the things we want to raise up in our Shepherd's Conference with these men and boys that gather in October. We're going to talk about sexual temptation, and I think the more we talk about it and more we confess it to each other, the better it's going to be. The Bible says in no uncertain terms, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that's something you can take to judgment with you.
Yeah, and God made males visual. For a reason. He did, you know, that was not a mistake, but that visual can get you into trouble. And so being able to confess that to each other, be able to talk about it openly. I'm thinking about even last year at the Father-Son Retreat. At the Father-Son Retreat last year with Blair Watkinson, he talked about this. The place, the room was packed, but there was so much that was said and people could be open with each other. And it was really kind of a relief that you are not alone out there in this. And that's what Satan wants to get you. You know, Satan and his demons want you to feel like you're the only one, and don't tell anybody, because then, you know, everybody's going to be on you and hate you and all of that. No, we need to confess our sins to one another, bring that out into the light. And that way it can be cleansed and washed away, and we can be held accountable to each other.
Well, my friends, a lot of different applications to this edition of the program. One is, let's confess our sins right now. Two is, let's be careful what happens with the internet. Let's understand the trap involved here, and let's also understand the consequences involved. Here's a Christianity Today article that came out a week ago or so where it headlines, "My husband is on the Ashley Madison list, what now?" And I think this is a good practical question to ask. Basically, she says, just buy my books. There's not a whole lot in the article. But I'd say, here's a couple of things to say. If your husband is on the Ashley Madison list, it is a wake-up call. And I think a lot of people need to understand this to be a wake-up call. So much of modern Christian families are made up of facades and hypocrisies and shallow, empty theology, and sometimes a lack of confession, the absence of faith and true and real assent to those truths you say you assent to. But here's the good news. As God brings these things out to you, remember that Jesus Christ saves us from hypocrisies as well. That's the great news. It's just, you have to realize the depths of your hypocrisies. Everybody's got hypocrisies. Typically, the more liberal, the more leftist you are, the more you build your monuments to hypocrisy. Liberals are proud of their hypocrisy, and that's the difference between Democrats and Republicans. So the Democrats make fun of Republicans who confess their sins, while the Democrats build their monuments to their sins. So that's the difference between Democrats and Republicans, okay? Or conservatives and liberals. But when God brings these things to our attention, we don't shove them under the carpet. We don't get another load of dirt and pile the dirt over them and try to bury it and move on to more sin. Rather, we just say, Thanks be to God, he's revealed these sins to us. He's finally shown us who we really are, and now we can confess to God who we really are. And yes, it's shocking, and yes, it's terrible, and yes, we turn out to be far worse than we thought we are, or far worse than anybody else thought we were. But so be it. Now we understand the purpose for Christ. Now we understand why the grace of God that comes and brings Christ to us, and he sheds his blood, his precious blood, in order it would cover those sins that have been just revealed and become such a scandal in our home. So that's the first thing I would say. It's a wake-up call. Secondly, if your husband needs some confrontation, then you've got to confront him in a loving manner, a patient manner, in a godly manner, in a mature manner. Come to him in the spirit of Galatians 6 with a spirit of meekness, and bring these sins to him. Matthew 18 says, if your brother sins against you, bring it to him. Bring the fault to him. And if he doesn't listen to you, then you got to bring two or three with you. And so that's the next step. Oftentimes, wives may need to bring elders with them in order to bring that sin to the consciousness of her husband. And then if he doesn't listen to the two or three, you've got to take it to the church, and that may lead to excommunication. Whatever the case, don't be afraid. Truth has got to prevail. There's way too many wives out there afraid to confront their husbands, and perhaps husbands are afraid to confront their wives on sin. But hey, that's the kind of thing we do. It's amazing. As we do this in a truthful manner, in an honest manner, in a humble manner, it's amazing what God does. Satan is set at bay, and then we're able to deal with that sin. But we can't deal with it unless truth reveals it.
God already knows not only all, he knows your sin better than you do. And so it's not something that's going to be mentioned that's new to God anyway. And he is an amazing Savior. It's amazing in the Bible when it says, but man, it's usually a bad thing. But God always brings about something great. But God being rich in mercy with the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. It is by grace that we have been saved.
Amen. Amen. We'll wrap up the program on that note, my friends. And I'd encourage you to develop a more healthy respect for what is going on with modern electronic technology. I'm afraid most of our families are babes in the woods on this one. They're giving chainsaws to two-year-olds, and they're not using these tools properly. That's why I wrote my book, The Tattooed Jesus, What Jesus Would Say About Pop Culture. And a great deal of this material is written concerning these matters of pornography, these matters of sexual temptation, and the matter of the forces of darkness that work so hard in the area of the internet. Get my book, The Tattooed Jesus, if you'd like to be a little bit more on your guard and prepared to handle modern technology. The Tattooed Jesus, What Would Jesus Say? What Would the Real Jesus Say About Pop Culture? That book is available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.